Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Well, with the Lord's help, we will conclude this message that I've been sharing for a couple of weeks on how to deal with anger according to the Word of God. And a very important scripture, which we looked at yesterday, is found in Ephesians, and that is the 4th chapter, verse 26. And what we see is Paul is exhorting a very important principle. He is telling, for those who have ears to hear, be ye angry and sin not. So apparently there's a place where we can get angry but not sin. And then he says two things. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So we have to learn how to discipline our temper, even righteous anger. Anger is not to be our master. We are to master it and express it in a way that pleases God. Now, we looked yesterday at the passage in Mark, the 3rd chapter, where Jesus himself got angry and was grieved with them because of the hardness of their heart, of the Pharisees, because it was the Sabbath day, and he healed a man with a withered arm. And so, we know that anger has certainly an aspect of God, and one day, I mean, he came as a suffering servant in the form of Jesus, but when Jesus returns, he's going to come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and his raiment, his clothes, will be stained with blood, the blood of his enemies. So anger is a very strong emotion, and in the form of resentment or righteous indignation, what does it do? It has a stimulating function in the fight against evil, but it can be potentially dangerous. That's why we find so many references and exhortations in the scripture to sin not. Now, we are in a new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. Under the old covenant, God was very clear. That's why Phinehas, he was so zealous for the Lord, he killed this couple who blatantly, in the front of Moses, in front of the people of Israel, who were weeping for their sin of whoredom with the daughters of Midian, that he killed those two individuals. And we see, according to scripture, I mean, my goodness, if someone was a witch or a sorcerer or any of the sins that God was specifically speaking against, even in fact, there's one, if you read Deuteronomy, my goodness, if a son was rebellious and they were repeatedly by the parents, were trying to change his behavior, they would go to the elders, they would actually stone a rebellious son for disobeying his parents. So yes, we are in a different dispensation, and we give a greater enlightenment when we come to the new covenant. We can see that righteous anger and the administration of justice and vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so that's why this scripture is so important, because we can be angry against unrighteousness, but we're not to let the sun go down upon our anger. Why? Because we have to recognize, even in righteous anger, that justice and, you know, performing judgment and justice belongs to the Lord and He alone. That's why we're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. It is a safeguard against the abuse of even righteous anger. Even righteous anger is not to be prolonged beyond the nighttime of the day. So, the devil is our enemy. He's the tempter. His very name means one who His very name means one who sets at variance. And so what does that mean? That's a synonym or another word for discord, contention, dissension, strife, conflict. He loves to do that. Stir it up in the body of Christ. Not only man with God, but man with man. The excess of wrath is forbidden as giving an opportunity to the enemy who desires to break up unity and set at variance those who should be one in Christ Jesus. Oh, beloved, how often has this occurred in church splits? Strife, disunity, jealousy, anger. So, how do we deal with anger? I said I was going to give you a practical suggestion for it, and I would like to suggest a constructive outlet for your anger, and that is you can hate the devil. He is our personal adversary. That's why we can be angry and sin not. And knowing that God, we can't deal with the devil, don't even go there, but God is going to. So let us wrap this subject up with conclusion and in summary that the purpose of anger given to us by our Creator was to fight against evil, to do those righteous acts as mankind has done throughout the centuries. For example, dealing with slavery, dealing with injustice, dealing in a godly way with those things as God is speaking the time and where we're living in a way that He would have us do. And that can take many forms. We have to be led of the Lord by the Spirit of God as to how He would have us proceed. So we can control our anger. We have to recognize it's one of the aspects of God's own character. We can use anger in a constructive, positive way. And it's the Word of the Lord that tells us. It's not my opinion, my thoughts, my feelings. What should give way to the feelings of anger and strife? It's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 declares, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another." We are to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. We are to strive for perfection, beloved, in the body of Christ, in our own life, and that God, the Holy Spirit of God, is one of his job descriptions, if you will. And only when we are willing, truly willing in our spirits, in our hearts, to humble ourselves before the Lord, listening unto what the Holy Word of God tells us to do, when we're willing to submit our thoughts, our words, our actions to conform to Scripture, can ever hope to become what God wants us to be. It is a matter of surrender. We don't have the strength or ability in ourselves. We just have to be willing to be willing, and He will do the rest. What does God desire us to be? Well, Ephesians 4:16 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And again, let me share a scripture which I've already shared. Again, the Epistle of James is such a marvelous, practical guideline for our daily life in so many ways. And he deals with anger. He deals with the tongue. He says in James, the 3:2, "For in many things we offend all." If we're honest, we'll have to say, you know, like John said, if you think you're without sin, you're a liar. Because positionally we have the righteousness of Christ. That's why we've got to have the Holy Spirit as we walk this walk, as we grow into spiritual maturity. Because if you deal with the passages of Scripture in a carnal way, viewing it from human logic and reason, it doesn't make sense because it contradicts various passages can contradict each other unless you had the mind of God, the mind of Jesus. You know, let every man bear his own burden. And then it says, just a few places down, let every man bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Like, what? Well, there's no contradiction when you understand with the understanding the Holy Spirit gives, and that is so needed today. In many things we offend all, James said. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, that's all I have to share on the subject. Actually, I share quite a bit, but let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, you see, this is an area James in that epistle devotes so much time to, the fact that we need to bridle our tongue. Lord, you have given us anger as an emotion, but Father, we pray that we will use it in righteous ways, use it in constructive ways, righteous anger. And then, Lord, we just rebuke the work of the enemy using us in any way that would cause hurt or offense to our fellow man in the body of Christ, or to the unsaved. Lord, we need to be a godly example that men may see our good works and glorify God our Father who is in heaven. So, Father, we commit this. Lord, it's such a big issue, but Lord, I believe as we surrender to you, you are going to complete this work in our lives in Jesus' name. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, yes, I am your present help in the time of need. I am he that is able to put a bridle on your tongue. I am he that is able to restrain unrighteous anger. And as you submit to me, as I enable you to do what you cannot do yourself, you shall see the works and fruit of righteousness multiplied in your life, and you shall rejoice. For the greatest power of the Lord shall be administered in your behalf, the greatest miracle of God to be able to transform a human heart and a human life, that you will bring glory to your heavenly Father. This is my desire for you, says the Spirit of God, and as you submit, so shall you see it brought forth in your life, says the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe it. Lord, I sense a joy and a peace and excitement that as you are just moving in my life, so, Lord, it shall be for all of us, those of us who gather around to hear what the Spirit says through the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast, because, Lord, you are unveiling Christ in our lives to a world that so desperately needs to see and hear the actions of Jesus alive in the days in which we're living. Well, beloved, I love you. I invite you to write, share whatever prayer needs you have. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.